Welcome to the weekend. I'm Jonathan Capehart along with Eugene Daniels. Jackie Alemany is away on family leave. She will be back next week. We begin this morning, though, with Donald Trump's Justice Department. It's very busy on multiple fronts, settling scores and trying to tamp down scandals. The DOJ released a transcript and audio of the interview. Trump's former criminal defense lawyer and now top DOJ official Todd Blanche conducted last month with convicted child sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell, the former associate of convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. And not surprisingly, she spoke highly of the man who said last month, quote, "I'm allowed to give her a pardon."
President Trump was always very cordial and very kind to me, and I just want to say that I admire his extraordinary achievement in becoming the president now, and I like him, and I've always liked him.
DOJ also released the first batch of Epstein documents to the House Oversight Committee after blowing past a deadline earlier in the week to release all the documents per a congressional subpoena. And then there is the stunning FBI searches yesterday at the Maryland home and Washington, D.C. office of former Trump national security advisor turned high-profile Trump critic John Bolton. There are still more questions than answers at this point as we await to see if the affidavit presented by the FBI to a magistrate judge outlining what they believe they would find at these locations ever sees the light of day. A source tells NBC News it's part of a, quote, national security investigation in search of classified records. And another source confirmed to NBC News that it was CIA Director John Ratcliffe who provided FBI Director Kash Patel with the intelligence that was the basis for the search warrant. This situation also has the appearance of a Justice Department exacting retribution on one of Trump's perceived enemies. The White House has denied that politics played any role in yesterday's actions. Joining us now are former Trump Homeland Security official Miles Taylor, Kimberly Atkins-Store, MSNBC political analyst, columnist for the Boston Globe, and author of the Gavel newsletter about the U.S. Supreme Court, and former federal prosecutor Paul Butler, MSNBC legal analyst and Georgetown law professor. A lot of great minds on the show this morning. Thank you all very much for being here. Paul. The release of the Epstein, are we all about, there you are, Paul, the release of the Epstein files, I don't know, it all feels a little funky. You've got the audio where she's, oh, Trump, he's a wonderful man, and I'm so happy about his accomplishments, and then the release of the files, which folks are, to the Oversight Committee, which folks are still going through. Am I wrong in really not trusting what's happening here?
You're right to be very suspicious. So we have this interview of Ghislaine Maxwell. Everybody except the American people had something to get out of that. She's trying to get out of prison. She's trying to get a pardon from the president, who apparently is open to that. Mm-hmm. She's interviewed by someone who purportedly is the representative of the Department of Justice, which means he represents us, the American people. He's also the president's former defense attorney. And when you read the transcript, that's what it sounds like. So we have this person who is a convicted child molester. Again, it's not just that she aided and abetted Epstein. She also participated in the abuse. Mm-hmm. She groomed children. She told young girls, how are you doing in school? You getting along with your parents? You want to go shopping? And she abused them. And she was charged with perjury. Yeah. And she's saying, oh, Trump is a great guy. I love everything he did. I never saw him do anything. Now, should we believe that? I don't think so. Mm. She also said, just really quickly, that she had never seen young girls on Epstein's property. She said she had no idea whether he abused people. As far as she knew, he didn't. According to his indictment, he abused over 1,000 girls.
Yeah, she's the only one that didn't see anybody. I want to play some sound from Maxwell's interview for you, Kimberly, on the supposed friendship between Trump and Epstein.
and there's photographs of, I think you're in some of the photographs as well. Those all appear to be social settings.
Yes. That's my memory. There were social settings. I don't know Epstein's, if he had, whatever the nature of the president's friendship, if you will, or however you want to define that with Epstein, I was never witness. I think they were friendly, like people are in social settings. I don't think they were close friends.
They weren't close friends. Kimberly, one of the things that has been sticking out to a lot of people, and I wonder if you read this the same way, is when you're going through the transcript, and I'm not a lawyer, but it seems like there's like some leading questions from Mr. Blanche to Ghislaine Maxwell, especially when it comes to Donald Trump.
Yeah, this was not by any means a hard-hitting interview that seemed really determined to get to the bottom of information. It basically seemed that he was giving Ghislaine Maxwell every opportunity to help the president, given all the points that Paul just made, that it is deeply in her interest to do that. But at the same time, she's saying things that don't appear to just jive with the reality that we've seen. We've seen pictures of Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein hanging out socially. There are photographs of Epstein, Maxwell, Trump, and his wife Melania. Mm-hmm. There are photographs of them at parties and videos of them being more than just passing acquaintances in this. And so, again, with no credibility at all, somebody who has been charged with perjury, who has certainly an interest, who's already been moved to a more lower
fed.
To club fed.
In exchange.
Exactly. She's gotten things in exchange. This is clearly transactional, and everything about the interview seemed transactional to me.
Yeah. It also, at least with the interview excerpts that we've heard and have been playing, it feels as though Todd Blanche has gone in there and had a checklist of things we need to talk about in order to mollify the MAGA base. And this one in particular, they actually talk about whether Epstein committed suicide. Listen to this.
Do you think he did not die by suicide, given all the things we just talked about?
I do not believe he died by suicide, no.
And do you believe that, do you have any speculation or view of who killed him?
No, I don't.
And I ask that because if you don't believe that there's any truth to the allegations of blackmail or that he had kind of a list or that he had reasons to have people hate him, why would somebody kill him in prison?
Well, in prison, where I am, they will kill you, or they will pay, somebody can pay a prisoner to kill you.
Paul, why engage in this line of questioning?
I bet they were hoping she was down with the program. So Bondi has put out that there's nothing to see here. Epstein committed suicide. Let's move on. But a lot of people, not just in the MAGA world, but people who have common sense, think it's really bizarre that this person who's in this high security prison, who's notorious, who might have the goods and a whole lot of rich and powerful people, kills himself. So there are legitimate questions that Barr, who was Trump's attorney general at the time of the prosecution and death of Epstein, he had. There's 11 hours of security video that he said he reviewed. Now, this video doesn't show everybody who comes in and out of that area. So again, there are legitimate questions that Trump and his administration are trying to squash. They want us to move on. But this interview is one example of why we cannot move on until we get the truth.
And they really started the questions, to be clear. Like, the right was strong on that this man didn't kill himself for a very long time until recently. Miles, I want to switch gears and bring you in here and talk about the Bolton, the John Bolton's house. I want to play some sound for you, a former official in the administration, and get your response on the other side. This is
an ongoing investigation into John Bolton. I will say we're going to let that investigation proceed. What I can tell you is that unlike the Biden DOJ and the Biden FBI, our law enforcement agencies are going to be driven by law and not by politics. And so if we think that Ambassador Bolton has committed a crime, of course, eventually prosecutions will come. Classified documents are certainly part of it, but I think that there's a broad concern about Ambassador Bolton.
Is Ambassador Bolton being targeted because he's a critic of President Trump?
No, not at all.
Now, Miles, there's a lot here. There's a lot we don't know about what John Bolton is accused of doing. We don't know what documents the administration says that he has. And so I don't want you to talk about that. What I'm most interested in is the wheeze that we heard from J.D. Vance in that interview. We're in the very early stages. We are investigating. We're going to be careful. We don't think that we should throw people. That's what we are doing. All of those things in the interview with our colleague, Kristen Welker, the vice president of the United States should not be speaking in wheeze when talking about a Department of Justice investigation, or am I losing it?
You're not losing it. This is very, very unusual for the vice president to be this read into a criminal investigation that he should be at arm's length from. And then in the report that you all mentioned at the top of the hour, we heard that the CIA director himself might have been the one to provide the evidence to the FBI director. You know, as more of these details come out, it's starting to look completely unprecedented that all of these very top senior officials that work under Donald Trump, that know he wants to get revenge against John Bolton, are personally involved in the investigation of John Bolton. But it wasn't just the wheeze that were concerning to me. I mean, the vice president's attestation that this had nothing to do with revenge was about as believable as what we were just talking about the administration has said on the Epstein files, because it would be a truly extraordinary coincidence that they've decided to focus their investigative powers on a man that Donald Trump has wanted investigated for years. But it's not just that. In fact, by my count, there are at least five people who have written books critical of Donald Trump who in some way, shape, or form have come under federal investigation. Myself,
is
John
one of them
Bolton,
on this panel with a name.
Yep. John Brennan, James Comey, Alex Vindman. It's, you know, quite an extraordinary coincidence if this has nothing to do with revenge.